Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Shot in the Dark. I'm your host, John Sino Evil here. Let's get right down to it, starting with AW Dark Elevation from Toronto, Canada. Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford defeated Jeremy Prophet and Jessica Neri, with Sabian pinning Prophet after hitting two back-to-back anarchy suplexes. Prophet had previously appeared on an episode of SmackDown. Frankie Kazarian defeated Matt Blackman easily with the chicken wing. Blackman, Prophet, and Neri from the previous matches, all three are actually winners of Jacques Rougeau's camp and got to train at the Nightmare Factory as a result. Athena defeated Jody Threat. Threat got a great reaction here in hometown of Toronto and has appeared everywhere since 2017, including GCW, Progress, Shimmer, Smash Wrestling, and more. She hung in there and had the crowd fully behind her. Athena was getting booed, but she ended up dropping Threat on her knees and held up for the win, and then held up Threat's hands after the match. The Butcher and the Blade defeated the Voros Twins. The Voros Twins are famous for their TikTok videos with their DaVinci meme and even got an entrance for this match. They have appeared on Ring of Honor as well. The Bunny came out decked in Canadian colors, but the Butcher and the Blade won easily after hitting Drag the Lake. Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh defeated Junior Benito and Dylan Davis. Sanjay Dutt before the match said that they're all on the same page, and Jay Lethal is now happy. Satnam destroyed Davis with a spinning powerbomb and hammered him down for the pin, as Lethal didn't even get in the ring for this match. Emi Sakura and Serena Deeb defeated Madison Rain and Sky Blue. Good match here, and the crowd was easily into it as Deeb made Rain submit to the Serenity Lock. And the main event here, the Guns, no longer going by the Gun Club, Austin and Colton, defeated the Bollywood Boys, making their AEW debut, and they had a great reaction here during the entrance, so it wouldn't surprise me if they were asked to return to AEW. And the Guns came out with these, like, FTR shirts and fake cardboard titles, as they've been recently kind of mocking FTR. And Colton gets the pin on Gerv after hitting the big rig as an insult to the FTR. We go to Tuesday's AEW Dark, also from Toronto. Hikaru Shida defeated Vanessa Craven. Craven making her AEW debut was actually part of the Mae Young Classic back in 2018. And actually took a break from wrestling since then and just returned earlier this year. But Shida ended up winning after hitting the Katana. Dark Order's Evil Uno, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Ten defeated Tyler Turva, Shane Hawk, Zach Patterson, and Giordano. Giordano just appeared on Monday Night Raw last month, while Turva has done matches for Impact and SmackDown. Jose the Assistant was on commentary scouting Ten, but Evil Uno got the pin after hitting Something Evil. Eddie Kingston and Ortiz defeated Mo Jabari and Jake O'Reilly. Jabari was just on Raw a couple weeks ago as well. While O'Reilly has spent some time in All Japan Pro Wrestling, Ortiz got the pin on O'Reilly after hitting a Fisherman Buster, and then after the match, Kingston put on the Stretch Plum on O'Reilly, but Ortiz asked him to let go or they'll get disqualified, so Eddie did let go. The Best Friends and Orange Cassidy defeated Colby Durst, Stephen Mains, and Jesse V. Jesse V is the current Superkick champion and the boss of One Davey Portman in Toronto. Cassidy hit the orange punts on Mains for the win. Ari Daivari defeated Brandon Cutler. Sonny Kiss assisted Daivari on the outside, but Cutler took Kiss out with the cold spray. This distracted Cutler enough for Daivari to attack him from behind and hit the Hammerlock Lariat for the pin. Daivari got on the mic after and called Hook a fool for turning down $50,000 to buy the FTW title, so now he's going to personally take it from him. This prompted Hook to come out, but as Daivari put Kiss in front of him, Hook walked off, as they will have their title match this Friday on Rampage. Willow Nightingale defeated Saleza Sparks with the Dr. Bomb, but Sparks looked pretty impressive in this match. Dante Martin defeated QT Marshall in the main event. Marshall got on the mic before the match and threatened to never come back to Canada if they still chant that he sucks, which of course they did. This match was actually really good and probably one of the best that I saw this Thursday in Toronto for the Rampage taping. They went back and forth at the end for a bit as QT dodged the nosedive just for Dante to put on the backslide for the win. They did tape about 7 or more matches for this episode of Dark, so I'm pretty sure we'll be seeing those next week. We go to Impact Wrestling on Before the Impact. The Motor City Machine Guns defeated Raj Singh and Shira, with Chris Sabin pinning Singh after hitting the Cradle Shock. Josh Alexander started the show and right away called out Bully Ray and asked him why he didn't call his shot at Bound for Glory after his match. Ray talked about how he was longer in this company than any other company that he's been in, and he stabbed multiple people in the back and has done it all, but now he wants to do it the right way. But Alexander says that everybody tells him that he can't trust Bully. Bully says that he will announce ahead of time when he will cash it in, but they get interrupted by Steve Macklin, who asks why was Bully Ray even in that match, and he must have politicked his way into it like he always does. Then Macklin started saying how he beat all these former world champions and that he should be getting the world title shot, but Moose interrupted him and called Bully Ray a scumbag, just like he is, because he likes scumbags and he learned everything from watching Bully Ray and what he does. Then Bobby Fish interrupted all these men and ran down everybody that is out here and straight up challenged Alexander for a world title shot tonight, which he accepted, so I guess he kind of beat everybody else to the punch. The Motor City Machine Guns tried to find Scott D'Amore to ask for a tag team title shot, but they see that Heath and Rhino asked for it first, so they'll be getting it next week. Killer Kelly defeated Tasha Steelz in a no disqualification match by submission with the Killer Clutch while having the chain around Tasha's mouth. Johnny Swinger and Dirty Dangle were backstage talking until they cut to Sami Callihan, who was taking out some of Eric Young's minions from the Violent by Design. Scott D'Amore then told Josh Alexander to be ready and careful for Bully Ray. Trey Miguel defeated Alex Zane, Black Taurus, Kenny King, Laredo Kid, and Yui Ramora in a six-way scramble match after getting the pin on Zane. Speedball Mike Bailey stopped Frankie Kazarian in the parking lot and told him that he's a true legend and it'll only make him better by losing in defeat. Miguel comes in and asks for an X Division title shot, but Kazarian says that he just has to see what happens as he makes his way to the ring for later on. Vexed and Giselle Shaw defeated the Death Dolls, with Giselle Shaw pinning Rosemary after hitting a knee strike. Tommy Dreamer bumped into Bully Ray backstage and says a lot of people don't trust him and ask him to do the right thing, and then Ray says Tommy is his best friend and he will not let him look like a fool. Ana Nomura backstage and are upset that Heath and Rhino get a title shot out of nowhere and say that they haven't seen Eddie Edwards all day, and next week they will retain the tag team titles. Matt Cardona defeated Bhupinder Gujjar. Brian Myers comes out during the match to distract Gujjar as Cardona hits radio silence for the win. Mickie James was being interviewed backstage about going after the Knockouts title before she gets interrupted by Vexed and Giselle Shaw, as Chelsea Green says that she beat Mickie before and will do it again, but they said that they're too busy going after gold and they would see a video from the Bullet Club challenging Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer for a match next week. In the main event for the Impact World Championship, Josh Alexander defends against Bobby Fish. Really good match here with Alexander fighting out of a triangle choke and hitting the C4 spike for the win. After the match, Frankie Kazarian comes out and exercises option C, relinquishing his X Division title, so he'll be getting a future world title shot against Alexander. Not sure when this is happening, I'm guessing it'll probably be at the next Impact Plus special. We go to Women of Wrestling. We have a second round match in the Wild Tag Team Title Tournament as Miami Sweet Heat defeats Chainsaw and Holly Dead. Holly Dead is replacing Siren the Voodoo Doll in the tournament, and she is Thunder Rosa's former tag team partner when they were the Twisted Sisters and has appeared in Ring of Honor, MLW, AEW, and WWE. Candy Crush defeated Ice Cold with her Candy Crusher right hook. The Heavy Metal Sisters defeated the Bully Busters and Vivian Rivera, with Fury getting the pin on Rivera. And the main event here, Leia Makoa defeated Penelope Pink with a Samoan drop. Pretty good match here with two, I guess, established wrestlers here. And this was treated as a big upset for Layla. We go to NWA USA as Missa Kate and Maddie defeated Pretty Empowered in a non-title match. Kate pinned Ella Envy after Maddie hit the rally check in a big upset over the champions. And then Ella Envy and Kenzie kind of got into a little shouting match after, but they seemed to be okay. But Maddie and Missa Kate have earned themselves a tag team title shot at Hard Times because of this. JR Kratos cuts a promo saying that Aaron Stevens will fight him, but May Valentine says that he will not, as they are going to go to Brazil. They're still keeping this Brazil storyline going on. Homicide defended the Junior Heavyweight Championship against Doug Williams. This is a rematch from March when Homicide defended the title against Williams, and this time he did the same thing, hitting a DDT in the Boston Crab as the ref called out the match with Doug being knocked out. The Fixers defeated Mercurio and Alex Taylor and Jeremiah Plunkett of Ill-Begotten in a 3-on-2 handicap match as Matt Vine was out with an injury. Mercurio had some mystery woman in his corner, and then Ligursi got the pin on Plunkett after the Fixers hit a double powerbomb. The main event was supposed to be Jack Stain versus Anthony Mayweather in the Last Man Standing match, but Mayweather came out in a suit with his son and said that life is all about clarity. He needs to be the hero and the father to his family, and he shouldn't be focused on Jack Stain. He doesn't matter to him anymore. And then Chris Silvio tried to bait Mayweather into the match, but Mayweather said it won't work. Dane told Mayweather's son that he will be his hero instead, and he can call him daddy, which caused Mayweather to start brawling with Dane, but Dane laid him out as the show ended. We go to NWA Power as Trevor Murdoch defeated Matt Taven in a non-title match after hitting a top rope bulldog. Velvet Sky then made an announcement that said that Tim Storm wouldn't be able to accept the title shot that she gave him from the Champions Series match, so instead she will give it to Angelina Love, but Love wants to prove herself, and she will face a top-tier talent later on in this episode. The Spectaculars were trying to be interviewed, but Tyrus interrupted them and started to choke out Rolando Freeman. Black G's tried to calm down Tyrus, tell him to stop, but Tyrus kind of pushed him off as well. The question mark, this one being Rodney Mack, defeated Kratos after Aaron Stevens hit Kratos with a loaded glove, followed by the Mongovian strike. Mongovian spike for Mack to get the pin. Mack, Mark, I get confused here. And then Chelsea Green actually defeated Angelina Love as she was defending her Champion Series title opportunity here after hitting a chop to the throat and pulling onto the tights. So now Green has taken Love's championship opportunity, and Velvet Sky was upset on commentary. Kerry Morton defeated Joe Alonso with a running knee. And EC3 defeated Mercurio with the Essential Driver. After the match, EC3 cut a promo warning Tom Latimer that he will control his narrative. We go to NXT Level Up. We have a new commentary team here. Sudu Shad is now joined by his new partner, being Byron Saxton, moving from Raw. Ikemen Jiro and Tank Ledger making his debut, defeated Duke Hudson and Bryson Montana. Ledger is a former football player and was part of the first Next in Line class and has also been seen as part of Hank Walker's security team on NXT. Impressive showing from him, doing some powerhouse type moves, but Jiro got the pin on Montana after hitting the Ikemen Slash. Duke Hudson abandoned Montana towards the end of this match as well. Miles Bourne defeated Dante Chen to continue his winning streak, hitting a brainbuster for the pin. And Ivy Nile defeated Lash Legend. Pretty dominant win here, with Nile putting on the Dragon Sleeper for the quick tap out. We go to New Japan Strong as Doc Gallows defeated Shea Cabrera. This looks to be Gallows' last appearance on Strong for a while, as he's now back in WWE full-time. Gallows with a rare singles victory here, winning after hitting an Anarchy Suplex. Aussie Open defends the Strong Openweight Tag Team titles against Team Filthy's Danny Limelight and JR Kratos. Good match here with Mark Davis pinning Limelight after hitting Coriolis. And then Fred Rosser defended the Strong Openweight Championship against Chris Dickinson. This match actually ended up in a double countout. Got a bit violent and out of hand, them spilling outside into the crowd until they both got to 20 countout. And after the match, they kept rolling until officials had to separate them. This match was just getting warmed up when the decision was made, so I'm sure that they'll be having a rematch pretty soon. We go to main event as Carmelo Hayes makes his main event debut, defeated Cedric Alexander. They had a video from Alexander saying that he took some time off to reassess his journey in the WWE, but he reminded himself and the rest of the world that he is prime Alexander. And then Hayes' video said that he's more talented than Cedric and he don't miss. And he came out here without Trick Williams, but he did get the win after hitting nothing but net leg drop. Very good match, probably the best I've seen on main event in a long time. Definitely check this out if you can. A little bit later, we saw Cedric and Carmelo backstage, where Carmelo says that he has respect for Cedric, but he'll be seeing a lot more of him as it's his time to eat now. We go backstage where Tamina and Dana Brooke both tell R-Truth and Shelton Benjamin to work together, so they agree to be a team, and Shelton told R-Truth that he'll be in his corner tonight, but Shelton didn't say what's up when R-Truth asked him during his entrance. And the match was R-Truth defeating Von Wagner by disqualification, Wagner also making his main event debut here. No Robert Stone in his corner. Wacky finish here with Wagner pulling off the turnbuckle, but the referee stopped him from using it. And then while he was fixing the turnbuckle, Shelton tossed R-Truth the chair, and he does the old Eddie Guerrero spot where he tosses it to Wagner and lays down, so the referee thinks Wagner used it and disqualifies him, giving the win to R-Truth. The WWE Network editions of the week were ICW Fight Club, as well as Progress Wrestling Return of the Fly, which had Aussie Open versus Violence is Forever. Definitely check that out if you can. That is it for me this week. You guys can catch me here next week for another episode of Shot in the Dark.